So let's get more on the Sharks and the series with our Pacific Division insider, Jonathan Davis. JD, how are you today? What's going on, my man?
You know, it's just another gorgeous day here in SoCal. Getting ready, you know, to pull up a little cocktail and watch Game 3 tonight.
Yes, the good life. Yeah, love it. If you need to cool off, come find us. We've only got 2 weeks of below seasonal weather.
What's the cocktail?
Yeah. What are you going to make here? We actually did. We have a Wednesday segment called Wildcard Wednesday, where today we asked, you're trying to impress someone while you're bartending, what cocktail do you make? So go ahead and answer that for us.
Oh, man. I'm going to make the mojito.
Yeah. I feel like you're listening today. That's a good answer. I like that.
No, I wasn't. I usually do.
Okay.
I miss you guys.
What are the Sharks up against here? They've been dreadful on the road this postseason. It's weird saying that because here they are in round number three, and it feels like they've got the right type of foot to fit Cinderella's glass slipper, but they've been great on the road.
No, they haven't. And whatever, you know, and game twos have been nightmares for them. You know, I don't know. It's been, you know, Joe Pavelski talked about it after the last, you know, after their loss a couple of nights ago, and just, you know, they really haven't been good for quite some time. You know, they was really kind of disappointed even with their play during the Colorado series. And, you know, it's been something for San Jose where they just need to get some more scoring from guys not named Hurdle, Couture, and Joe Pavelski, because it's really been a struggle for them.
Boy, it's like you watched the Bruins last night and their fourth line comes up with, you know, another set of big plays on the score sheet. I mean, that's what they're missing, right?
Right. Oh, man, Boston's got 19 different guys that have scored a goal in this year's playoffs. Wow. I think the Sharks are at 11, which is not terrible. But, you know, I mean, look, you know, that third line of Sorensen and Joe Thornton and Kevin LeBanc was so strong, you know, through the last couple of months of the regular season and even into the first round, has been god awful for the past nine games. And Melker Karlsson is going to find him, or is going to find himself on that third line as Soren comes out of the lineup tonight, because he still has yet to score a goal in the playoffs.
Okay, so lineup changes there. The road hasn't been incredibly kind to them, but one thing that they have been able to count on is Logan Couture has remained his sensational self in the postseason. This is not new to you or anyone that's watched the Sharks, but it is impressive to see him time after time in big spots come up with big plays.
Yeah, I think for most of the people on the West Coast that are probably in bed by about 10:30, 11 o'clock throughout the year, they just don't get to see enough of this guy. You know, when you go back to the 2015-16 season when, you know, look, if they had won the Cup final against Pittsburgh that year, there's no question he would have been the Conn Smythe Trophy winner. He had 30 points that year. It was a phenomenal run. I think it's only Ovechkin's got more points per game than he does over the last little while in the playoffs. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, I think he had a career high, 70 points this year. And come playoff time, you know, that points per game climbs to just over one. This is a guy that when game 83 hits is just a totally different player in the right way.
No, it's funny. This postseason run for San Jose, one of the major turning points was that 5-minute major assessed to the Vegas Golden Knights in the play that Pavelski got hurt in game 7. They score 4 on that 5-minute major and end up winning the game in overtime. But outside of that 5-minute stretch, the power play hasn't been that good for the Sharks, has it?
No, it really hasn't. It's been a real struggle for them. And, you know, they had the one goal that was 5-on-3 in this St. Louis series. And I don't understand, I mean, you know, with all the talent that they have with Burns and Karlsson at the point and Couture and Pavelski up front, you would think that this is a
Meyer,
you
know, and Hurdle. Guys would, yeah.
And so Hurdle. Yeah. I mean, the weapons are there. I, you know, just not sure why the execution is not. Because San Jose, you know, this is a team, Ryan, that, and you've seen it enough, there's no bad shooting angle for them. They will fire that puck from anywhere. And they do such a phenomenal job, led by Joe Pavelski, in redirecting pucks. Did you think that one would find its way to the back of the net? Or at least a couple of more. We've had one, but definitely a couple more.
What have you seen from Evander Kane thus far? He feels like the type of guy that should be thriving in the playoffs, but it's Couture and Hurdle and Meyer and Pavelski we keep talking about.
Yeah, I think that there's an injury there. You know, this is a guy that's missed a lot of morning skates. He's only got points in three of his last 13 games. His last point came on an empty net goal. Now, he did lead the team in hits in game one, but I have to believe that he's banged up, because this is a guy that plays so hard. And I almost wonder, you know, could there be any residual effects from the fight that he had with Ryan Reeves back in the Vegas series?
Yeah, interesting. Let's stay in your neck of the woods. Anaheim Ducks, I was caught by surprise. John Shannon on Monday said that they'd reached out and chatted with Lane Lambert, who's been a longtime assistant of Barry Trotz and a guy that's certainly seen a share of winning of late with the Islanders this year, the Capitals in the Cup run last year. Is this just a free audit for Bob Murray and a chance to get to meet some other people that think the game well, or is this legitimately a job that's up for grabs? Dallas Eakins Club just knocked off Bakersfield as the underdog and are through to the Western Conference Final of the AHL.
Well, I think that Bob Murray wouldn't be doing his due diligence if he didn't at least talk to Lane Lambert, who gets a lot of credit for what he has done as an assistant under Barry Trotz. So I think that you're definitely obligated. I tend to believe that Dallas Eakins is the leading candidate. But you know, if you don't open your door beyond that, then you're really doing yourself a disservice. And so, look, Dallas Eakins has done a phenomenal job in San Diego, and not just this year, but over the 4 years that he's been there. And you look at the kids that have come through that organization that have spent time with the big club, whether it be Sam Steele or Max Jones or Josh Mahura or Troy Terry, who's injured right now. These are guys that have all played under Dallas Eakins. So I think that he's the leading candidate, but obviously not the only candidate. And, we'll see what happens, once their season is done, the Gulls, and here they are off to, the Western Conference Finals for the Calder Cup.
Yeah, it's an incredible. They're doing it without Terry too, which is really impressive, because he, of course, got injured. What was it, against the Flames or late in the season? I'm trying to recall. Either way,
well, and look, and they get Max Comtois, who came back just for this last series against Bakersfield, and all he did was score the game-winning goal in quadruple overtime in Game One, and came back the next night and scored the winning goal in Game Two.
Impressive stuff. Yeah, and I really liked his 10-game debut. It was more of they finally got healthy, and it was like, If you really could do it perfectly, you would have kept them or just played them the 9 games, not the 10, to burn year one of the ELC. But whatever, it is what it is. What are you expecting in Edmonton this offseason? Ken Holland has arrived, but the easy part is getting to sign that contract and watching the bank account grow. Now the hard part, cleaning up that major mess. Where does he start and what has to get done here?
Well, Ryan, I think you said it best maybe the last time we were on the show. Look, all he needs to do is find himself another goalie, some help on the back end, and some forward help, and he's set.
And a coach.
Yeah. Look, and a coach. Look, I almost wonder, if there's a buyout coming, and I'm not, maybe it's not Milan Lucic. Maybe they don't want to put out the $21 million that it would take to buy him out. Maybe it's a guy like Chris Russell. I just have to believe that I would think that Ken Holland, it wouldn't shock me. I don't want to say I think. It wouldn't shock me if he wants this. They try to send a message to both the players and the fan base that, hey, look, we're going to start cleaning up this mess. And a buyout would be a step in the right direction. But there's no question, if they don't do a buyout, they still have to figure out what they can do with Lucic. He's owed $3 million as part of his signing bonus on July 1. That will bring his actual salary down, or the amount of money left on that contract, to $16 million from the 24. It makes it it's a little more appealing than what it would have been before to move him. But yeah, look, he's talked about how he's going to step into the free agent market for a goalie. So that means Anthony Stollers is out. I think that their budget's probably around $2 million with the $4.5 million already invested in Koskinen. So, you're not going to go much more than $6 million for two goalies. So there's a lot of work to do. I'm not here to disparage Ken Holland. I'm just not sure, Ryan, he got a $2 million increase from what he was getting in Detroit. I just don't know who was paying him for. I really, there's just a lot of work to do in Edmonton, mm-hmm. and I hope the Oilers fans are patient because that's a pretty big contract that they're paying their GM.
Yeah, I don't think they care. It's the owner's money. It doesn't come against the cap, but safe to say that's a massive undertaking. And I think there's still some things to be proved by Ken Holland in this new landscape with a cap, with, you know, the advent of a lot of data coming into the game, and to, frankly, just to get out from under the mess Peter Chiarelli left. There's some serious work. Here's a tie-in for the Oilers. Jay Woodcroft's done a wonderful job with their affiliate in Bakersfield. We just told you they got knocked out, but an incredible year at the AHL level. A real long either winning streak or, you know, one loss over the course of like 20 games. I mean, it was an incredible run they went on this year. They really liked the development of some depth pieces in the organization, but it might not be the Oilers that end up with Jay Woodcroft at the NHL level. Walk us through a scenario where he goes to another organization.
Well, I mean, there's been talk that, you know, that now that Bakersfield is out, that Todd McLellan has or will reach out to Jay Woodcroft, a guy that, you know, that he has worked with in Detroit, in San Jose, and in Edmonton. And so, you know, the thought is that Todd, you know, is going to reach out to him to see, you know, would he be interested in joining Todd again in Los Angeles as one of his assistants. And so that's interesting. I mean, it, you know, look, it's definitely a comfort level for Todd, and it's a decision of, you know, whether Jay wants to, you know, stay as a head coach, or is he happy being a number two again? So, you know, look, the Kings are going to definitely add two assistants to their staff, and, you know, Jay Woodcroft could be one of them.
That's interesting. That makes sense. You said it. I mean, he's clearly been alongside McLellan for a lot of his career, and while he may be a rising star in the Oilers organization, he's clearly not going to be the head guy there. It sounds like more the Dave Tippett type is front of the line there, and it would be tough to say no to joining a staff in L.A. That's a nice place to live, and it's with the guy you've coached with the bulk of your career.
Right. And if you're not going to be, you know, if you're not going to be named the assistant in the organization that you're already working in, if you're not going to be in the head coach, you know, if he's not one of the candidates, then, hey, look, why, you know, I wouldn't blame him for taking an assistant job back in the NHL than riding another year in the buses.
Okay, great stuff, man. We'll catch up with you next week. Enjoy tonight's game number 3 from St. Louis.
Have a wonderful evening, Mr. Pinder.
Appreciate it. Get that cocktail going. Mojito. I like that. Sounds good.